Go the Blues.
If you're building a house, you'll want the highest quality lintels at the lowest possible price. For concrete lintels, galvanised steel lintels, render mesh bars, T-bars and other steel building products, the Builders Steel Direct team can't and won't be beaten on price or service. Next day delivery is guaranteed. For the best lintels, T-bars, render mesh and arch bars at unbeatable low prices, check out builderssteeldirect.com.au or call Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialists, 9623 8584.
It's official. Radio advertising generates the highest return on investment.
It's a love...
I said the highest.
It's a love...
No. Come on.
Okay.
It's a love...
That's more like it. New independent research comparing loads of actual sales data has confirmed that when it comes to ROI, RADIO is the clear winner. Hardly surprising when you consider that each week, 95% of Australians tune in to the radio station they love. So if you want some serious advertising ROI, add radio to your marketing mix ASAP. Just search radio. Show off.
Hi, 2K here. You love backing winners. You love your racing. Well, so do we. Don't forget to join us Monday mornings for Punters Postmortem. Call us on 13 53 53 and chat to the best racing experts in the business. There's a $50 tab voucher up for grabs for the best caller. Monday mornings from 9 a.m. right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Breeders' Quirindi Jockey Club Stallion Tender is now open. Almost 40 outstanding stallions could be yours at very affordable prices. Sires are standing across New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria and include Almaha, Monaco Consul, Trusting and Lucas Cranach. It's time to make an offer with Quirindi Jockey Club. Call 0408 461 905 or email qjc@bigpond.net.au. Hurry, tenders close July 17.
Data has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Fields bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning to you, Simon Harrison with you. It's coming up to 3 minutes past ten. We do have a New Zealand race, which is the first from Te Araha, a 3,100-metre hurdle due in 3 minutes. Runners are on the track. Three Zabamar is the favourite at $2.90. Now, Trent Langscale is with me from tab.com.au. Good morning to you, Trent.
Good morning to you, Simon.
Special guests this morning, we'll have Neil Cordy up on the back of Te Araha to chat about AFL, what has been over the last week, plus we'll preview a couple of matches on this afternoon. And jockey Christian Reith, fresh off a double at Rosehill yesterday, including the feature ace with Houseman winning the Civic Stakes. We'll get Christian up a little later on as well. Before we get to this New Zealand race, Trent, though, we might as well take a look at the markets for the matches this afternoon. Would you like to start with the one NRL match, Manly taking on Cronulla at Brookvale?
We'll start with that, Simon. Yes, 4 o'clock kickoff at Brookvale Oval with Manly $1.40 and Cronulla $3.10. In line betting, the Sea Eagles are giving away a 6.5-point start. For the margin betting, you've got the Sea Eagles by 13-plus at $2.50 and then 1-12 at $2.85. You've got the Sharks 1-12 at $4.25 and 13 or more at $8. And in the first try scorer, Brett Stewart is the favourite at $7 ahead of George Tafua at $8. So just the one match in round 17 of the NRL this afternoon. Tomorrow night at ANZ Stadium, West Tigers $2.40 against Parramatta $1.60, with the Eels giving away a 4.5-point start. And we'll touch on Origin 3 as well, Simon. The big one Wednesday night at Suncorp Stadium, Queensland $1.65, New South Wales $2.30. In line betting, the Maroons are giving away a 3.5-point start. In the margin betting here at the end of normal time, Queensland 1-12, $2.65, New South Wales 1-12, $2.80, the Maroons 13 plus at $4.50, and the Blues 13 plus at $7. In the man of the match, Jonathan Thurston is the $6 favourite, and in the first try scorer, Darius Boyd heads the betting at $8 ahead of Greg Inglis and Brett Morris at $9. In the AFL, it's been a traumatic weekend with the circumstances that occurred on Friday morning. We'll touch on them with Neil Cordy after this race at Tiara. So in the AFL, there's two matches this afternoon. 1:10 at Etihad Stadium, Essendon $1.67, St Kilda $2.25, with the Bombers giving away an 8.5-point start. And then 4:40 this afternoon at the main stadium, should be a lopsided affair this one. Fremantle $1.02 against the Brisbane Lions at $16, and the Dockers are giving away a 59.5-point start. So basically 10 goals there.
Okay, Trent, we'll have Neil on the back of Tiataha. They're pretty close to a start. 3 Zabamata run the $3.50 favourite.
Starter John Moody about to let them go. Gates open. And they're underway on racing in the first of a day. Caruso was one of the first to jump. Agmizi going fast alongside of it as they take the first fence on the journey, and they all make it. Araki down on the inside is handy earlier. In front of that, a bit deeper on the track then by Hunter's Creek as they head towards the second on the journey, and they rise and they take it all as one. So Caruso will come out in front of Hisanaki Lad, and right up there on the outside of it now as they work across the top as you're down to second. 3 lengths away then to Araki, then came Zavamar in that group as well, then followed out by Big Meadsy, 2 lengths away then to Hunter's Creek, halfway Pioneer second last, then Levantos is 1.5 away. Down the side, on their first occasion they run inside about the 2400 metres mark. The pacemaker is Caruso, shows the way by 2 lengths in advance of Yadam. Back on the inside third is Hisanaki Lad. Then came Zavamar travelling a bit deep around Big Meadsy. Back on the inside is Hunter's Creek, then Pioneer deeper out as well. First of three in the lane, they come to it. Caruso about 3 or 4 horse widths away from the rail, takes it in front. Back on the inside of it then is Yadam, hard up against the fence, the second in the straight, they all make it. Third over Zavamar from Hisanaki Lad, then Big Meadsy. Araki is back on the inside, 1.5 Hunter's Creek, third in the straight, and up and over they go. Pioneer second last the outside, and back on the inner then is Levantos. They come down in front of the crowd now, one left to go. A lap out, about 1,800 metres of the journey left to run. And it's still Caruso. Still quite happy to run away from the rail here. Leads by 2 lengths. From Yadam back on the inside, second. Third is going to be Zavamard, and it's well enough spotted. Hisanaki Lad is back on the inside. 1.5 away then to Big Meadsy from Araki around it. 2 lengths away then to Pioneer, who covers up Hunter's Creek back second last. And still 2 lengths away, Levantos. They corner up into the back. 1,400 out from home, and the spray read at Tiaraha Hurdle, the first on the program, and the pacemaker remains Caruso, a half in advance of Yadam, who's just anointed on the outside. 1.5 away, third is Zavamar. If it covers up, he's a nappy lad, still 2 lengths away, Big Meadsy, as they take the first down the far side. Over they go, Big Meadsy led over Haraki, then followed back on the inside to Hunter's Creek, Pioneer looking to take off, and still 2 lengths away, Levantos. About 1,100 metres out from home. They take the second down the side. And leading them over now was still Caruso. Half in advance of Yadam. Then followed by, on the inside of runners now, Big Meadsy. Next down the far side, he's an Aki lad. Zavamar is starting to take off as well. So work across the top. 800 metres out. Out deep on the track then is Pioneer. Well back now is Hunter's Creek, back with the Levantos. And also Araki, 700 metres out. Zavamar's now pouncing on these leaders. They come across the top with the Caruso. Right there too. Out wider is Pioneer. They'd follow over from the inside as they come up towards the home turn. With about 400 metres left to go now is Big Meadsy. Then followed out wide on the track. Then just trying to run on as well is going to be wider at Hunter's Creek. 3 left to go. Third to last at it. Out and over. Zavamar led over. From on the inside of a runner's now and won't go away. Yadam. 3 lengths away. Big Meadsy. Then followed over then by Hisanaki Lad at the second last. Leading them over. Zavamar. From on the inside. Yadam. A 2-horse war. 4 lengths away. Hisanaki Lad. Then Big Meadsy at it. Zavamar and also Yadam. They knuckle down. 4 lengths away. Hisanaki Lad. Zavamar pulling out plenty on the inside. Yadam. Yadam got the first. Beat out second over. Was Yazavamar, 30s an Aki Lad. Then followed over then by Levantos. Then came Big Meadsy. Pioneer, then Hunter's Creek, never ran on. Back with Araki and Caruso. Dropped drop out to be the last one home.
Yeah, test of endurance there, both for man and beast. 2 yard arms paid $4.80 and $2. 3 Zavamar $1.50, and for third number 7, he's an Alakid, $2.10 the place.
Let's get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Fred Lakesdale and Simon Harrison with you for Tab Talk. Neil Cordy joins us now to discuss all things AFL. Good morning to you, Neil.
Morning, Simon.
Just before we chat about the matches, we probably should reflect on the week that was and the tragic events which unfolded on Friday. I guess you're probably a lot closer to Phil Walsh than we were. What would you like to say at the beginning of the show, Neil?
Oh, look, Simon, I think we're all still in a state of shock over what's happened. I think that the AFL made the absolute right call in cancelling the match, which is was scheduled for this afternoon at Adelaide Oval. And what the Crows are doing is a terrific idea. I think they're opening up the Adelaide Oval for people to come in, for kids to come in and kick the footy around, pay their respects to Phil, and recognise what had happened, and just get together. I know when people are grieving, they need to be around other people that feel the same, and I think it's a fantastic idea that what the Crows are doing today. And I think Nathan Buckley and Alistair Clarkson should be really congratulated for what they did after their match. And it was a really furious and fantastic match between Hawthorn and Collingwood. And just a few minutes after that, they gathered in a circle, linked arm and arms, coaches and players together after fighting it out just 10 minutes early, tooth and nail. And on all the other matches that were played yesterday have all mimicked the same thing. I was at the Giants match yesterday against Richmond, and the players gathered in the centre of the MCG, and that was repeated all around Australia, up in Darwin as well. And I think that was a fantastic show of respect and just how much the AFL family is suffering right now.
It was the press conference that I saw on Friday when Gil McLachlan came out and made the announcement that they wouldn't go ahead with the Adelaide match this afternoon. And I suppose for the other players that were playing in their various games, the Collingwood players with Hawthorn on Friday night and a few of the games that were on yesterday, it would still be very close to them as well, even though they weren't a part of that club. And it would have been pretty tricky, I would have thought, to have mustered the energy and to really focus on the game at hand.
Oh, without a doubt. It's an enormous challenge, because the thing about Phil was he was associated with 7 different clubs, and there was an enormous amount of personal contact. While, of course, not all the players and coaches knew him personally, he still had an incredible network of people that knew him and had worked with him. He was a player at Collingwood, Richmond and the Brisbane Bears, and then he was a coach at Geelong, Port Adelaide, West Coast, and finally the Adelaide Crows, where he was a head coach. So there was the network and the people that have been touched by what's happened on Friday is widespread.
Yes, it has been a terrible 48 hours for the AFL fraternity, Neil, but we have seen the tremendous respect from all the teams at the start and finish of each game since, so should be commended for that. And yeah, it's going to be still a difficult period, especially for the Adelaide Crows now losing, well, Phil Walsh and then Dean Bailey last year, who was a part of the assistant coaching team. Before the tragedy occurred, Sydney and Port Adelaide did get round 14 underway on Thursday night, and the Swans are able to hold off the Power by 10 points despite injury concerns in the match.
Yeah, it was a really good effort from the Swans, especially considering they were without Lance Franklin and Kurt Tippett through suspension. And then in the second quarter, they lost Gary Rowan to a hamstring injury, who'd been in probably the best form of his career. Then, of course, Ted Richards was knocked out cold early in the third quarter. So they were effectively 2 men down for most of the second half of the game. And Adam Good stepped up. He's playing just as well as he has for quite a while, and Sam Reid kicked 3 goals. So that was a really, and that was Port's sort of last real shot at a spot in the eight. They really needed to win that one against a weakened Swans, and they couldn't quite come up to it. So they were heavily motivated. So that was a very good win for the Swans.
Now, in the match yesterday, you covered for the Daily Telegraph, or the Sunday Telegraph, you saw GWS against Richmond and the Giants. They were brave yesterday, but the Tigers just got the better of them in the final quarter to win by 9 points there in greasy conditions.
Yeah, it was a really interesting match, Trent. I thought the Tigers would really dominate this game. I saw what they did against the Swans last week and what they did a few weeks before that against Fremantle when they had a couple of massive wins for them. And the Giants were, of course, hit with injuries themselves. Shane Mumford, who's their real talisman of that team, was out for the season. Plus, they'd lost the key defenders Phil Davis and Joel Patfull. And I really thought the Tigers would get a hold of them. But the Giants led at every stage. Richmond's poor kicking for goal didn't really do them much help, but the Giants have sort of looked like their season might fall away, but now I think there's some hope for them. If they can get 5 wins, they've already got 7. They had a great start to the season. They can get to that magic number of 12, which historically has shown to be enough to get into the top 8. So it'll be, and they've got St Kilda coming up next weekend, and that'll be a really interesting match. If they are going to have any chance of making the finals, that's the sort of one they're going to have to win.
And Neil, just on the Hawthorn Collingwood match on Friday night. Gee, I thought if Collingwood had a kick straight, they'd have won that.
Oh, without a doubt. It was Travis Clark again was the culprit in this one, and it's really going to be in pressure games. Anybody who's got the yips, just like in golf, if you've got the yips in front of goal, it's going to come out when the heat's on in the biggest possible games, and that's the biggest worry for Collingwood with the way Travis is going. And that game, Collingwood really should have won it for the amount of inside 50, the amount of possession that they had. He wasn't the only guy who was poor in front of goal. Jesse White had a couple of deliberate shots that he could have got. There was quite a few, and it will give Nathan Buckley plenty of encouragement, though, with the Pies going forward. And they're such a young team, and they've been really, along with the West Coast Eagles, the surprise packets of this season for mine.
That's the greatest conundrum with Travis Cloke, and Alex Fasolo was another one on Friday night, Neil. Cloke kicked one from the boundary while he was ordering a pie and chips, but he couldn't kick one from 25 in front. So just the way it is with players with goal kicking. You talked about the Giants and their finals chances. They did get an unexpected boost yesterday because North Melbourne fell to Gold Coast by 55 points at Metricon Stadium, an absolute surprise.
Yeah, it was. And, we had our suspicions, of course, because Gary Ablett came in for his, not his first game of the year. He played the first couple, but was back after a long spell because of his shoulder. It was about almost 12 months to the day since he actually did his shoulder for the first time against Collingwood last year, and he was fantastic. He kicked 3 goals. He was Gold Coast top possession getter with 31. Of course, Charlie Dixon stepped up with a career best 7 goals, and North just weren't in the game at all. They made a couple of surges in the second quarter and pushed back, but then Gold Coast sort of sprinted away in the third, and North just couldn't get near them. So if you're a player if you're a team in the top 8 in the back half of the year, you wouldn't like to run into the Gold Coast, because I think they'll get a few more wins before the season's out.
Yes, North Melbourne seem to have one of those games about once a month. They had that second half fade out against Collingwood, then they build themselves up, and then they put in a stinker like they did yesterday. Also, matches last night, the Western Bulldogs and West Coast, they had wins against Carlton and Melbourne respectively. The Bulldogs now looking like they could get that top 8 position, and West Coast now looking a good chance for the top 4. For today's matches, an important one for Essendon, if they've got any hope of making the finals, they are the $1.67 favourites against St Kilda at Etihad Stadium, and then the twilight fixture, Fremantle, should be far too good for the Brisbane Lions. Just probably your thoughts on the first game, because I'd imagine you'd say the Dockers are going to be too strong for the Lions anyway.
Yeah, you definitely think so, Trent. But I think this is a real danger game for Essendon because they've really struggled to kick a winning score. They've got problems in the ruck, and it really sets up well for the Saints, who love to ambush teams, and they've had some pretty good form in recent weeks. They beat Melbourne, of course, in the last 40 seconds of the game, and they're playing, and they were very competitive against the Western Bulldogs last week. So I think this could be... I think the Saints will upset Essendon today.
All right, St Kilda at $2.25, so we'll see what happens there. And Fremantle, the line is 59.5 points, 10 goals. Just as a punning person, I think it's a little bit of a dangerous proposition because Fremantle, we know that they aren't the highest scoring team. They have struggled in the past couple of weeks and they've got Hawthorn next week in Launceston. So it could be a scenario where they lead by, say, 6 goals at half time and Ross Lyon just puts up the shutters and goes, well, I'm not worried about percentage or anything. Just get through the next week and play Hawthorn down in Tassie.
And you're absolutely right. I'd be very nervous about that line myself, Trent. I know plenty of punters who've been victim of Ross putting the cue in the rack at some stage. And of course, the thing is that they do have bigger fish to fry. It's a long season to go, and to some extent, percentage isn't as quite as important to them because they're clear on top of the ladder and look like they're probably going to finish in the top two and get a home final. So you'd be a bit wary of that one.
Well, thanks very much for your time as always, Neil. We'll wrap it up there. But, it's been a tough few days, but we've still got some great footy coming up and we appreciate your input this morning. We'll chat again next week.
Good on you, Simon. Thanks, Trent.
Neil Cordy there. So, Trent, anyway, so we've got the two matches on this afternoon. Yeah, Freo, they'll be far too strong for Brisbane, you would think, and they'll go to 48 points after this afternoon.
They should, and like I said, they've got the big game next week. It's an afternoon match on Sunday against Hawthorn in Launceston, so really important for both sides, but Fremantle, they're on top. Percentage isn't that great a concern, but Brisbane, they do struggle to kick goals against Fremantle as well, so it could be a scenario where it's 13 goals to 3, something along those lines. But, yeah, just a word of warning, I think, for that line for Fremantle minus 59.5. They might not go full bore in that last quarter.
We'll come back in just a moment, Trent, and our next guest will be Christian Reith.
TK here. You love backing winners. You love your racing. Well, so do we. Don't forget to join us Monday mornings for Punters Postmortem. Call us on 13 53 53 and chat with the best racing experts in the business. There's a $50 tab voucher up for grabs for the best caller. Monday mornings from 9 a.m. right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
I can't give you one reason to advertise on radio. I can give you 17.
It's a love thing. It's a love thing. Everyone knows.
17%. That's the average return on investment for radio advertisers, according to the first ever, first of its kind independent study. In fact, one of the brands in the study got a massive 64% ROI. 64%. What a greedy little
place. It's a love thing.
17%, 64%. I mean, that's a seriously good return on investment and another seriously good reason to advertise on, in and around radio. For the facts, search radio. It's a love thing.
The Sky Sports Radio, it's approaching 23 past 10. You are listening to Tab Talk. Christian Reith wrote a double at Rose Hill yesterday and he's been good enough to join us. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning. How are we?
Very well, thanks. Congratulations on your couple of winners at the Gardens yesterday. I'd imagine we should start with the feature race, Houseman winning the Civic Stakes. You seem to get the good position in running there with drawing barrier one. Was that the plan, just to sort of have him behind the speed?
Yeah, well, from the good draw, me and Mr. O'Shea come up with a plan. You know, box seat him and give him his chance to just sit behind what we thought were the dangers with two blue, and if luck went our way, he thought he was very hard to beat.
Was two blue running them along there and really setting a decent clip?
I thought it was just a nice clip for everything to be comfortable in the race, which allowed us to be racing a little bit handier. We weren't going overly fast. So I thought it was just a nice even tempo.
Do you think the Civic Stakes is sort of about Houseman's level, or he could go one step higher?
Yeah, it's probably his level. He was fortunate enough to have everything go his way yesterday, and you know, he was able to just get there in the nick of time. But, look, that's probably his level this time of year. You know, and if he can probably draw well again, run to a similar kind of field, he probably can get away with another one.
Well, Christian, yeah, John O'Shea spoke with Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend this morning, and they asked him about the winner stakes, which in a couple of weeks' time, it's over 1,400. The 1,350 yesterday, was that about as far as he can get?
Yeah, that's probably, you know, 1,350, 1,400 is probably as far as he wants. He's a horse that travels quite well. He's got a short dash on him, so, you know, just need that proper tempo for him, and, you know, usually he can finish his races off.
Well, as Simon said at the start of the program, you had the race-to-race double. Houseman was the second leg of that, taking out the Civic Stakes. You had Hard to Hold winning race five, and you took advantage again of a good barrier. You had number six in that race, and the early pace grabbed the lead, and which you never relinquished.
Yeah, Bjorn Baker was very confident going into yesterday. He said leading up runs were very good and very promising, and he's expecting it to improve yesterday, which it did. You know, walking the track earlier in the day, the fence actually walked quite heavy, and it felt walking it was a no-go zone, but as the day progressed, it seemed a place to be. So it was always an advantage to be on the fence on pace, and we're able to do that.
Even though she was a $16 chance in the market, Christian, once you led, did you feel pretty confident that you're able to control the speed and you'd have enough to get home in the straight?
Yeah, well, like I said, once I got to the half mile, I was able to give her a couple of easy sections and let her catch her breath again, get into a nice rhythm. And I think that was the winning part of her race, where she was able to relax from the half mile to the 400. And, you know, it saved that sprint burst for her at the end. And I was quite impressed with her yesterday. I thought it took a lot of courage for her to do some early work and to be able to kick at the end. So Bjorn Baker and his staff have done a fantastic job with her.
Just in the two-year-old race, the first, you're on that streetcar Divine Madonna filly Maternal. How did she feel for you?
She felt great. I thought we were a bit of a victim of circumstances. We just probably had to go back a little bit further than we wanted to slot in. Maybe if I kind of just pressed a little bit more earlier, we might have been able to slot in a little bit closer. I said to Mr. Asa, I said she's getting through her gears well. Just that top gear, the wheels are still spinning a little bit. But, look, she's not far away. She's going to pick it up pretty quickly. And I'd be looking for her to improve next start.
Well, you've been in form after yesterday, Christian. You've got a couple of rides at Kembla Grange tomorrow. You've got in race five, Saturday of May, for Bart and James Cummings. And then in race six, Philomena, for Kerry Parker. Just your thoughts on those two chances. And looking ahead to Grafton over the 2 days, just some of the prime rides you've got.
Yeah, look, I've got a few at Grafton, and I haven't really had a good look to be able to go through them at the moment, but I know I've got a couple for Mr. O'Shea up there, and we'll be spending the 2 days up there. It's always a great carnival. They do a great job up there, so we're really looking forward to getting up there.
Thanks for being a part of the program this morning, Christian, and good luck tomorrow at Kembla and on Ramorny Day and Grafton Cup Day later this week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
There he is, Christian Reith. Now, what we can do before we wrap up our segment is get Michael Beattie online from the Clarence River Jockey Club. Michael, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, boys.
Congratulations on the start of the carnival. Got away well with the John Carlton Cup Day on Thursday. Had a good crowd there?
Yeah, it was a really good day's racing. And as you said, the crowd up around our expectations at around about the 2,000 people, which is always very good for our Westlawn Finance Day. And the best part about it, I suppose, is that both the winner of the John Carlton Cup in single chance and the winner of the Cup Prelude, Mullet Man, have already indicated their intention to take the opportunity of a ballot-free run and move forward and run both those horses in our two feature events, the Ramorny Handicap and the Grafton Cup.
This afternoon, you've got the South Grafton Cup, so you'll be getting prepared to get that underway, and how are things shaping up?
Yeah, look, couldn't be happier with the fields. We've got near-capacity fields throughout the afternoon. There does, on paper, look to be quite a few scratchings, but, of course, we had four emergencies in most races, so we still brush through with near-capacity fields. The South Grafton Cup itself has only got 11 runners, but it's a very, very interesting race with horses like Darcy Magic, Thoughtworthy from the Brett Kavanagh Yard, Royal Scribe coming down from the Gold Coast. I went length last night to a Calcutta. And genuinely, depending on who you spoke to, there's probably 8 or 9 winning chances. So it's going to be a pretty interesting affair.
Well, looking at the South Grafton Cup this afternoon over the 1,600 metres, tab fixed odds are available, and Darcy Magic is the $2.30 favourite. You've got Rule Scribe at $5, Kazoom at $7, and Aldini, the other runner in single figures, at $9.50. So competitive betting race there, Michael, for the South Grafton Cup. And then the 2 days, which will be the features on Wednesday and Thursday, you've got the Ramorny Handicap, and that really launched Takeover Target, who we've talked about his career in the last month with the passing back there in 2004, launched him along with Joe Janiak and Jay Ford, and then you've got the Grafton Cup, the headline act on Thursday.
Yeah, the Ramorny, very much over the last probably 15 or 20 years, has been a race where we've seen horses come through and then pretty quickly go on to greater things. Takeover Target, clearly the best of them, because he was the world's best sprinter, and I don't think there's too many country clubs that will be able to say that they